This is Jim Speary. It's March 5th, 2012, Forward Operating Base, Edinburgh, Helmand Province, Afghanistan. I'm with one of the pilots who's on his last day here and he's going out. Please tell me your name, sir.
Ryan Tevis.
And you're a W-2, right, Ryan?
Yep, W-2.
All right. How long have you been in the Guard?
8 years, last October.
And how old are you?
24.
So, my goodness, you joined when you were 17.
Yep, 17. Still in high school.
Now, we were talking a little bit. You're pretty much from Arizona, right?
Yeah.
And you came to Arizona as a young boy. Tell me a little bit about that history.
Well, I was born in the Philippines. And when my parents got married, my dad was living in Tucson, Arizona. So they brought me over, my mom and I, in Tucson when I was like 5. Been there ever since.
And you joined the Guard at 17. You were still in high school. Whose idea was this?
It was my idea, but I learned about it from a friend who did the same thing, except he's artillery now. So,
how did you choose to become a helicopter pilot?
It's always been my dream to fly. Actually, when I was a kid, I wanted to fly fixed wing, you know, like jet fighters, and then... Well, obviously the Army doesn't have anything like that, so helicopters was the second best. And I walked into the recruiting office, and I told him what I wanted to be, and he's, all right, well, you got to do maintenance first. So I was a H-64 mechanic when I first joined.
So you were a mechanic on Apaches first?
Yes, that was my first MOS in the Guard.
Okay, so then that would have made you enlisted at the time, is that correct?
Yep, enlisted. I came in as an E3.
And when did you get the opportunity to go to Warrant Officer School?
After basic training in AIT, I was pushed to deploy with our unit in Tucson, the Apache unit. And mobilization and deployment was roughly around 22 months. So in early of 2008, I was finishing my packet for Warrant School. And then they sent me in August 2008.
All right, so you've been flying now a total of maybe 3 years total?
I graduated flight school in April 2010, so, but yeah, I was flying in flight school between 2008 and 2010.
You like flying?
It's a lot of fun.
I've had the opportunity to fly with you. I really enjoyed it. We've had a good time. Now, let's talk about your deployment here. This is your first time deployed overseas, right?
No, this is my second time.
Second time. First time was with the H-64 as a mechanic, right?
That's right.
Tell me the difference between the two deployments from your own perspective, having been maintenance and now being a pilot doing medevac.
The first deployment with the 64s was pretty easy. We considered ourselves FOBITs since we never left our forward operating base. And I was in Delta Company, which pretty much means heavy maintenance. You know, anything that's going to down the aircraft for more than 2 days. And it was RC East and FOB Salerno. So we had, you know, the comforts of hard buildings, climate control, chow hall, gym.
Well, to be fair here, I actually been to Salerno, and that's I've seen a lot of times where you could only walk around with little red lights, if I'm not mistaken. Did you ever get hit there from time to time?
Yeah, it is a blacked out FOB, but we did get rocketed. I mean, Salerno was known as Rocket City for a long time. So, yeah, we got rocketed multiple times throughout the year when I was there.
I actually like Salerno. It's for that part of the country, I think it's Pactiga Province, if I'm not mistaken.
Coast.
Yeah, coast, that's right. That's right. I like it over there. It's kind of neat for that part of the country.
Oh, yeah, Salerno was great. Everything was walking distance. The flight line was great, and... I had fun when I was there. It was a great deployment.
Now you've deployed as a medevac pilot. Let's talk specifically about your type of missions that you do out of FOB Eddy here. Tell me some of your experiences here.
I've been here since mid-November. I went on mid-tour, which was my leave, and right after I got back, I spent about 3 days at Dwyer before they shipped me here. And as soon as I got here, I flew a 4.1. I was on first up as soon as I got here, so 4.1 hours, couple amputees. And it was busy between November and February. January was probably our worst month because multiple things happened. Mascal, Fallen Angels, and our lead aircraft, and I was Chase for this one time. They had, we picked up a patient with a UXO on his leg, and that was a surprise.
That's a pretty interesting event. I've been talking to some of the EOD guys and some of the pilots like Captain Dew that were actually the lead on that one. You were Chase on that one, so you're watching the whole thing go down.
Yeah, yeah. The call actually came down to pick up a child, and we got there. It was a routine medevac. I mean, after you've been here for a while, you know, even the worst of it becomes routine. But yeah, routine medevac. We were just following them, you know, executing our normal procedures. They landed, and we heard over the radio, "Hey, we're putting in a Marine with a UXO, no child." So immediately, I started thinking, "Well, crap. What if they explode in midair? You know, what's?" And I was just going through like, what to do if something happened to them en route back to Eddie.
They don't usually teach this scenario, right?
No, they don't. It was more of a last-minute thing.
So to be, just to clarify for the audience, what we're speaking of is there was a Marine that had an RPG in his leg.
Unexploded
RPG round in his leg that had embedded into his body. And the lead aircraft picked him up as a patient, and you're Chase watching the whole thing, and nobody knows what's going to happen. It's never been done before.
No.
And everybody's on pins and needles, I presume, but they carried out the mission, right?
Yeah, we carried out the mission. I called back to operations, requested EOD, updated them on the situation. I'm pretty sure Edinburgh pretty much shut down the FOB, tower shut down the FOB for all aircraft. They landed on one end of the runway towards the STP, and we landed on the other end because if they had exploded, we didn't want to cross them and get caught in the blast or fly past them and, you know, mess with the ground guys. Whatever they were doing was very delicate. They wouldn't even bring the guy into the STP until the warhead was extracted.
I've seen that video, and it's just an amazing thing how this all just transpired and how they extracted it out. And and my understanding is the Marine actually is doing well from all this. An unbelievable event. Here you are now on your way home. Not home, but you're going to Dwyer, and then soon you'll be going home. It's probably going to be slower down in Dwyer than it's been here. How do you make this adjustment?
The adjustment of not being at such a high op tempo.
Exactly.
Well, you just got to roll with it. I mean, February was a pretty good adjustment period. We haven't been very busy here. I mean, you know, from your stay, haven't had nearly as many calls as we normally do, but it's still busier than Dwyer. So I all see it as a vacation or just time to readjust.
What will you take with you after this deployment that you've learned in the, like, you were here in a very, very busy 3-month period? What will you take from all of that experience and implement back when you go back home to Arizona and do whatever it is you do next?
Well, there was a lot of lessons learned. I mean, the 3-month period that I was here, 4 months, we came out with a lot of mistakes that we had to quickly fix. Otherwise, we would have either gotten shot down or crashed the helicopter. And the biggest thing I can take away from it is no mission is the same, and be prepared for it to change. So as long as you remain flexible and just go with the changes, then you should be all right. I mean, there's a lot of snap decision making, you know, either going to Eddie or pushing Bastion, depending on how much fuel you have, how many patients you have, if your medic is overwhelmed. So there was a lot of factors that were new to me when I first got here, but pretty much used to it now.
So flexibility is the one thing you take out of here?
Yeah, be extremely flexible and just go with the changes and expect changes. Every time I take off, I expect something to change all the time.
We're going to close this and go to part two because I need space on this thing. End of part one.